You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
To the Gym Class here on KGYM as we come your way on this Friday edition of the show, coming up on 3:05. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes on the other side of the glass, Ben, our producer, once again here today. We've got a very good show for you coming up. We're going to dive in. We're going to kick off our topic series with one that needs to be addressed, and we're going to do this in about 10 minutes or so as we are going to talk about refereeing. As far as the shortages, abuse of referees, etc., etc., we're going to get your input out there. Eric Pratt from the Fort Dodge Messenger, who was going to try to join us here today, still is trying to do that. He's a sports editor up there. He wrote a terrific piece midweek about this, and he's going to try his darndest to get in touch with us, but he's got some meetings today that he could not get around. And as I mentioned, we'll talk about that because it is a subject that needs to be discussed, and it is something that needs to be addressed and taken care of. And we will kick it around on the program here today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. 319-366-1600 coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream. KGYM mobile app, do yourself a favor, download that if you have not done so, and your smart speaker. You can also listen to our shows via podcast form. You can do that at our website at kgymradio.com. You can also do it on Apple and Spotify. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. 45 degrees on this April the 15th. It's not tax day, though, Mark. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well, and hope you and others out there are as well. Tax day now on Monday because of the way the calendar is situated. Mine are done, but I refuse to pay them until I absolutely must.
Good for you.
And I promise not to yell at you today if you don't yell at me.
No, why?
It's in reference to our topic coming up.
Oh, okay. I thought it was some sort of a day on the calendar.
Well, it is. I don't know what it
is.
Well,
I mean, yeah, it's something every day, but. Yeah, you're right. I will not yell at you. You will not yell at me. We have a kumbaya moment here on the program today. Yeah, we're going to get to our topic coming up in a little bit because we had three pretty ugly incidents as far as officials and the treatment of officials over the weekend, a weekend ago. And one of those occurred here in the state of Iowa. And it's high time that this stops. It's high time that we talk about it. And, you know, we're not going to cure it today. We know that. But if we can just get some opinions out there on what we can do to curb this and stop it eventually, then that we will accomplish a lot today on the program. And, yes, happy Friday to you, Ralph from Riverside out there. Probably enjoying watching the RBC Heritage, and we'll have an update on that coming up for you in just a little bit. News of the day, though, highlighted by college basketball news from down the road in Iowa City, as many reports out there that Iowa assistant coach Billy Taylor is going to be leaving Fran McCaffrey's staff, and he will be named the new head coach at Elon. And that would be a loss, obviously, to the Hawkeyes. In fact, I think it's all but nothing official has come out yet as far as the University of Iowa athletic department is concerned. But Patrick McCaffrey in his personal Twitter account today had a sad face emoji and wished Coach Taylor well and said, "We will miss you." And not only is Iowa going to miss him, but Steve Bergman and I, well, City West and Paul Rundquist are going to miss their family as well because Billy Taylor's son, very good basketball player for Iowa City West, suffered an injury early in the season a year ago, a knee injury, missed most of the year, but a well-thought-of prospect for Iowa City West. So I would imagine he is probably going to be playing elsewhere around Elon next year. But, you know, that's what you're there for on the staff, to get a chance to become a head coach. So congratulations to Billy Taylor.
Elon has announced this hiring, and I think it's always a compliment if you're a head coach to have one of your assistants land a head coaching job. Not so much if it's a lateral assistance job, but Billy Taylor's been a head coach before at Lehigh and Ball State and Division II Belmont Abbey. So he gets another shot at Division I. He's 48 years old. What Fran McCaffrey does to replace him remains to be seen. Elon, by the way, in North Carolina.
Yes.
And to play the Scott Unash nickname game, they are the...
I don't even know.
Elon is the Phoenix.
Okay, the Fighting Phoenix of Elon. That's two in a row that you've stumped me on, by the way. So I'm feeling a little bit low right now. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. So Iowa with a seat to fill as far as the staff is concerned, and there are names being bantered about from the staff, not from the staff, and I guess it remains to be seen how it will all play out. But yeah, good for Billy Taylor. He's going to get a chance at the Division I level, and that's all you want, is to get a shot, and so good for him.
Yeah, another shot, actually. And if you remember in the Minnesota game, he was the interim coach for Fran McCaffrey when he had to sit out for COVID. Kirk Spira had done the same thing in the past when Fran was suspended. Fran McCaffrey had assembled, and still has assembled, a staff of guys with a lot of experience, head coaching experience. But Billy Taylor's going to move on.
And he was 1-0 this year.
He was indeed.
1-0 this year. So Iowa, as we mentioned, with a vacancy as far as their staff is concerned, and we'll see how quickly they move to fill that particular need on the staff out there. Happy USFL opening weekend, by the
way. How about that?
To you, Mark. Are you excited about the United States Football League?
I wouldn't say excited is the right word. I'm anticipating it. I'm going to look in on it a little bit. I still haven't researched if all the games this season are in Birmingham, but I know the first weekend is all the games, whether your team is from Michigan or Tampa Bay or what have you, you're going to be playing in Birmingham. So just glancing at the rosters earlier this week, not a lot of high-profile names as you had in the first iteration of the USFL when you had Jim Kelly and Herschel Walker and Steve Young and others. Very few of those guys out there.
No, but I think it'll be fun to watch football, and we're going to get that also this weekend.
Different rules, too.
A few different rules, and I think I got to think the NFL may be looking over the shoulder and saying, is that going to work? Is that going to work? We'll see. It's also, of course, Jackie Robinson Day as far as the major leagues are concerned. So a 42 to everybody out there today of the great Jackie Robinson. Also today, and this is a very, very strange one, what was it, 2 weeks ago we lost Estelle Harris, who played the mother of George Costanza in Seinfeld. She passed away. Today, Liz Sheridan, the actress who portrayed Jerry's mom, has passed away at the age of 93. So, coincidence or not, but lost two very big sitcom stars, or at least supporting stars, if you will, within a time frame of a couple weeks from the same show playing basically the same role. Very odd. Very, very odd.
Yeah, and closer to home, I don't think our friends will blame us for bringing it up, but Mark Ironside, a friend on Wednesdays during wrestling season, lost his dad.
Yeah.
And Michael Loss, Gazette sports columnist, has been gracious with his time with us. He lost his mom, and I know you'll join me in sending out sympathies to those two guys.
No doubt. No doubt. And our listeners will do the same out there as well. 3:15, we're going to get into our topic coming up here, but we want to get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's, opening up at 4 o'clock. Later on, you can find them online at emilshideaway.com.
Major League Baseball scoreboard today, two games in progress right now. One, the Mets are thrashing the Arizona Diamondbacks 10-1, bottom of the eighth. The Twins are in Boston for the Red Sox home opener.
Red Sox.
Beating Boston right now 6-1, top of the sixth. Byron Buxton led off the game with a double, slid awkwardly into second place base, and slammed the ground and removed himself from the game. Right now they're saying knee soreness.
Day to day.
For Byron Buxton.
As we all are.
RBC Heritage Classic, Zach Johnson, right before we ended our show yesterday, was on the course on his back nine and withdrew. And it's an unspecified illness. That's as far as we know right now. Certainly hope Zach gets back well and in action soon. Former Illinois guard Andre Curbelo has found a new home, and that is at St. John's. And finally, tip of the hat to Adeline Kenlon of the University of Iowa gymnastics program. She finished second in the NCAA balance beam yesterday with a score of 9.95. And if you know gymnastics, 10 is perfect. She lost out to Olympic gold medalist Suni Lee, who had a 9.965.
So she's first in class.
Tremendous performance for Adeline, who's got two more years left.
Awesome. Awesome for her. Great job. I saw that routine last night.
Yeah.
And she was spectacular.
It's perfect to me.
Yeah, well, you can find a little bit of this and of that.
You can do that on 4 inches, man.
Hey, it's perfect. All right, we're going to take a break, get you a weather update. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about our topic. And we're going to talk about what needs to be done to curb referee abuse at every level, whatever it may be, youth level, high school level, college level, et cetera, et cetera. You hear more about it at the youth level, I think, and especially in this age as far as video is concerned. We'll talk about that. Get your thoughts about it as well. 319-366-1600. More of the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the Iowa's News Now Weather First Forecast Center, I'm meteorologist Nathan Santodomingo. Happy Friday, everyone. A very slow warm-up today out of the 20s and 30s we saw this morning. Breezy at times, partly to mostly cloudy with a high temperature around 49. Saturday starts chilly in the mid to upper 20s. More sunshine, though, in the afternoon. High, though, staying cool in the mid-40s. Easter Sunday, chilly in the lower 40s with rain and snow looking likely periodically, especially in the afternoon. That was a check of your Iowa's News Now Weather First Forecast.
In the NBA play-in tournament, there are no sure things except one. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook, and you'll get an instant bonus win or lose. That's right. Not only do you get to enjoy the NBA's best duking it out for the right to advance to the playoffs, but FanDuel is giving all customers a bonus for getting in on the action. Oh, and the more you bet, the bigger your bonus. Here's the same-game parlay I'd consider. I'd pick the Nets, the over on Kevin Durant's scoring total, and the under on Kyrie's assists. You can also check the popular Same Game Parlay tab on FanDuel and use one that they've pre-assembled. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with promo code COON to make every moment more. So don't just watch the NBA play-in tournament, be a part of it. Bet at least $20 in same game parlays and get an instant bonus win or lose. 21 plus and present in Iowa. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 7 days. Max bonus $100. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
My wife and I trust Midwest One Bank with everything we do, both commercially and personally.
We're talking with Ryan Baker about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One gave us our first business loan to purchase World of Bikes. They've been able to give us lines of credit, loans to make capital purchases and equipment, vehicles. We have all of our personal banking through Midwest One, so they really have kind of made the dreams of me and my family a reality and stood by me every time I needed them.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Create the backyard of your dreams with Menards' huge selection of landscape and patio block, and get 11% off. Whether it's a spacious patio, a decorative walkway, or flawless landscaping, you'll find the perfect blocks for your project. Holland pavers are two for $1 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through April 16th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
So how exciting is this? Raising Cane's is coming soon to Coralville at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue. Best tasting, most craveable chicken finger meals. And you know what? It's made possible by their crew. Raising Cane's crew. Yes, I said crew because they don't just have employees, workers, or service staff. They have a crew. And that's why they were recently recognized as Best Places to Work 2021 by Glassdoor. Raising Cane's, one crew, one love. Coming soon to Coralville at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue.
Back with you in the gym class at KGYM 321. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Thanks for joining us here on this Friday. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. And text line available, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well, if you would like to weigh in at 319-366-1600 as we dive into a discussion, not necessarily a Friday topic from our Friday topic series in the spring and summer. We will get to that coming up in due time. But as far as today is concerned, we've been wanting to talk about this for a while, Mark. And unfortunately, events from this past weekend, we both kind of said it midweek when we were thinking about Friday's show. You know what? I think it's time that this needs to be addressed. And it has been addressed in some places. Let's just do it here. And that is the fact that we've come to a tipping point, if you will, as far as referee abuse is concerned. As far as it doesn't matter what sport. You see it more, I think, in baseball and basketball than in other sports. But it's there everywhere. There's no doubt about it. It's there everywhere. It's at most every level, especially at the youth sport level, high school. I think it does decrease as you go up a little bit. You buy a ticket as far as a college basketball or a professional game is concerned, and you believe that you are entitled to do anything you want. And that is, unfortunately, the thinking of a lot of people out there. Now, that may be influenced by a few beverages prior to the contest, but it does not give you a blank check to take care of things from the stands, in your opinion, out there. But we wanted to talk about it because on a couple of different fronts, we had three incidents this past weekend. And one of those happened here in the state of Iowa, in Fort Madison, at a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, of all things, as a referee was knocked unconscious at a 3-on-3 at a middle school where this was taking place. Also, there was a softball umpire in Mississippi, a 12 and under youth event that was punched. It was beaten. Also at a 10U baseball game in Texas. And this is the one that had the viral video from the weekend. And a coach came out, protested a call, and basically ended the altercation with a right to the face, which knocked out the umpire. We're seeing this more and more and more and more. We're also seeing the fact that umpires en masse, referees en masse, are leaving the sport. And it is a sport. It's an activity. It's a sport. It's something that is needed out there. And we are now seeing the ramifications come down the line because we are seeing a lot of, right now, albeit lower-level events around the country, and that includes in the state of Iowa, that are being postponed and canceled due to the fact that we do not have enough referees for these games because they don't want to take this abuse anymore. In fact, it has gotten to the point that the National High School Federation had an emergency get-together. The National Federation of State and High School Associations hosted a three-day event, an emergency meeting in Indianapolis this week to address this. The NFHS, estimates that approximately 50,000 people have left officiating since 2018-2019. These facts, by the way, from the terrific article from the Fort Dodge Messenger that Eric Pratt, the sports editor, wrote midweek. And we were efforting to get Eric on, as I said at the beginning of the program. He had some meetings today, so unfortunately he is not going to be able to join us. But it's, as he said, it's gotten to a tipping point, and it has gotten to a tipping point. And something needs to be done, or we're not going to have a lot of sports out there, Mark.
Yeah, this is not a new topic, which makes it all the more sad because we continue to try to address it. Incidents continue to happen. And what to do about it is one thing we want to discuss today. Why does it happen is another area. And I want to get more specific on what happened in a couple of these incidents. The one in Mississippi, and pay attention to the age groups, people. It's a 12 and under softball game where the female umpire, leaving the game, going to the parking lot, going to her vehicle, was punched by a mother in the parking lot. And she received, the umpire that is, a black eye, a contusion on her left eye. The woman who punched her was arrested for simple assault and was issued a $400 fine. The incident in Texas, 10 and under, Scott, 10 and under baseball. There was a play at the plate, and the umpire ruled the runner safe at home. I couldn't tell whether he's safe or out. I don't know. But into the picture on the video comes the third base coach for the team. I think it was the third base coach. Maybe it was the team in the field. Probably the team in the field. The coach approaches the umpire, says a few words. The umpire tosses him out of the game, and immediately the coach, with force, shoved the umpire to the ground. Now, the team has been suspended for one season. The coach has been suspended for life from this league. I thought the team being banned for one season was a little harsh. But where is the penalty? Where do you draw the line? Because you look at this video, and what are the kids doing?
Nothing.
They're just dumbfounded. They don't know what to do. They don't know what they're seeing. And, you know, to penalize the kids didn't do anything wrong. Maybe put a high tag on the runner. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, I don't have an answer. We've seen it for years, Scott. You and I out there covering high school events, participating in youth events as coaches. It's been going on forever. As I said, the sad part is, we're still talking about it. We've got a new generation of parents, many of whom are coaches, and they're overzealous. And I don't want to lump every parent into that category.
No, because 90% of them are good.
Yeah.
Are fine. Everything is good, and they're doing it the right way for the right reasons.
A good friend of mine in Florida directed me to her cousin's husband's Facebook post, and I'm not going to reveal his name, but in essence, he's a 25-year soccer official here in town in eastern Iowa. He quit because, quote-unquote, of the bull.
And you can finish that.
From parents, coaches, and whatnot. I thought he had a good point in his post as well, is we don't think about the effect on kids. You know, what are kids thinking when they see their parent slash coach say something, do something, get home and say, Dad, Mom, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? I wonder about those conversations. Whether mom, dad, you know, validates his or her actions, what teaching point is there for the kids? I mean, this man to which I refer is one of the 50,000 officials that have left the craft. That's an alarming number in 4 years.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing cancellation of games down the line. 319-366-1600 as we talk about this particular topic here today on the Gym Class program. We'll get to your text coming up in just a little bit. It's getting more and more that you see this because we're getting more and more deeper into a lot of being youth sports. You know, when you going back to the old, let's throw the when you and I grew up, Mark, we didn't have this. We had Little League. We had Little League a couple nights a week. Other than that, we got together on our own and played until whoever had the field kicked us out. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the way it went. Nowadays, and I've said this before, youth sports has helped out so much. It has made players better. It has made them more ready. It has improved individuals and teams. There is no doubt about that. No doubt about that. But then you also have to factor in there's a monetary side of it. And when you throw a monetary side of it into the equation, then it's okay. What do you owe me? It comes down to the fact, and I told you this earlier today, I at one time knew the exact ratio. It's something like 3 of 1,000 or something like that. In that area, anyway, of kids get a scholarship, a college scholarship.
And at 10 and 12 years old, college coaches aren't showing up to evaluate them. You're not going to get a scholarship at 10U, 12U. Are you?
No.
Parents think so.
And no one's
some going, parents.
And no one's going to remember the fact that you won the blank, 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 region blank, 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 blank.
No.
In 5 years, or not even a year after that happens. And then you get to the high school stage of things, and now you are going for that scholarship at times. And I have talked to so many football referees, basketball officials, baseball umpires that have flat out said, you know, and they talk to you when you're setting up and you're getting ready for games, especially on the sophomore front. You know, how you doing? Well, yeah, I think this is it, man. I'm done.
Mm.
And I'd hate to hear that. And yeah, I can't take this anymore. You know, it's not worth the time. It's not worth the pay to be assaulted verbally like referees are from the stands, let alone confrontations as far as the playing field or the court is concerned. And It's a problem that keeps growing and growing and growing. Now, what can we do about it?
Yeah.
What can we do about it? That is the question out there. We know that there is a problem. You just got to come up with solutions. Several of them out there, and a couple of them on the text line here. 9049 saying, in our small town, spectators were banned from rec league sports for a time due to referee abuse. Even meetings with everyone before the season doesn't seem to help. It's very, very sad. Yeah, and I know a lot of schools have gone to meetings prior to the season. If you're going to go out, you're going to go to these meetings. They are mandatory. I think ADs are doing a tremendous job now as far as directing the parents and how they want them to act. I think that's a very, very good step right there. There are a lot more times, and I saw it a couple times this year, where games were stopped right in the middle of play, and an official brought over the athletic director or whatnot, said, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. And maybe that's just what we need to do. I mean, you hate to kick people out, but that's kind of, you know, you show a few examples. Maybe that's the way to go about it. I don't know.
I want to read a response that I got on my Facebook page, and that coming from fellow co-Hawk Rick Blackwell, longtime athlete, coach, athletic supporter in this town, and he said, they need to come to a USA volleyball match. Parents yell at the ref, they get a red card and can be escorted out of the building. For the most part, the coaches and players let the calls go and move on to the next point.
Bully for them.
Order some red cards.
Soccer for everyone out there. 319-366-1600. Matt in Fairfax, our friend Matt. I don't know if it's too harsh, but if the parent of an athlete gets into a confrontation with an official, not only are they banned, but suspend the kid too. Maybe parents will think twice if their kid is up for the punishment as well. And like you were talking about that earlier, and I don't know if that's the way to go about it, because there are a lot of occasions where the kid is shaking his head out on the court or on the field when they hear their parent.
Exactly.
Out there. And I'm not sure that's the proper way and proper channel to go about it, but I don't think there is a real good answer.
No, this former soccer official in his post, and he was responding to the woman umpire in Mississippi that got punched, and he told his story, and he said almost to an incident, he would hear something in the stands derogatory towards him or one of his fellow officials, and all he'd have to do is look around to the players, and the one hanging his or her head, shaking his or her head, almost guarantee you that was the son or daughter of the parent yelling.
Yeah. 86-99, these lower-level leagues, tournaments, and sports are huge in the development of kids in their respective sports. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. If parents want to live vicariously through their kids' sports accomplishments, then they need to act like adults. And
living vicariously through your child.
That's another symptom.
Pretty good phrase right there.
Another symptom right there. 8532 says a good start would be legislators listening to those who have approached them, hoping for a bill that would bring harsher punishment to assault on a sports official. You said one of the incidents this weekend, a $400 fine. And that's it. That's not enough. That is not enough to have that. 9843 says NIL will compound this exponentially, unfortunately. Yeah, it's not going to help. It's not going to help.
I would like to hear from officials if there's any out there. And I know one weighed in earlier and thanking us for addressing the topic, but and saying that, you know, it might be too far gone by now, but it needs to be addressed. And what would officials like to see done? You know, every sport's different. Wrestling has problems. Soccer has problems. We talked about basketball, baseball, softball.
Football is probably the one sport that does not have this because you're farther away from the stands. But boy, oh boy, when it does happen, it is ugly and is very much publicized out there. But I've talked to so many officials that said they got into officiating for the love of the game and to stay in the game. They played it once. You know, if you're a baseball umpire, you played baseball, you want to stay with it.
Yeah.
And this is giving back. It's not so much for when they got into it, the monetary aspect of it. I think it's a little bit more the monetary aspect now, but that's a whole different subject. You see people getting out of it now because they are not having fun. They're not enjoying themselves out there. Talking with so many football crews that said that they just love it because of the camaraderie with the coaches. They can kid around with the coaches on the sideline. They know they're going to, you know, every once in a while, they're going to get questioned. They said there's not a problem with that. You know, just as long as you question the call, problems occur when you get personal. Heard that from every official up and down the line. You get personal, that's when things elevate. And that's what we have to avoid in this situation.
I remember talking to a local official this summer and about what he does, and he's involved in a lot of different sports. And I think he made the comment that, you know what, Mark, I don't think I've ever called a perfect game. And I think parents and coaches need to understand that. If you're a parent, unless your kid goes 4 for 4 every game, makes 15 out of 15 from the field, and 12 out of 12 from the line, doesn't commit any fouls, and your kid's perfect, that might be a different story. But no kid is like that. And umpires are going to make mistakes as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. And I tell you what.
And you've seen it too. Umpires, I've seen it in baseball mainly. An umpire will come over. Hey, I missed that call. Sorry.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And that's the way
wish
it goes.
Wish you hadn't.
That's
wish you hadn't. But,
yeah. That's the way it goes. But, you know, no one is perfect out there. And, yeah, it's a what can we do about the situation and try to rectify it? We mentioned meetings prior to the season getting underway, mandatory meetings out there and expectations. We're getting more of that from athletic directors. We're getting more of that from coaches. How you should act. You can do this. You cannot do this. I think that is a little bit of a start. And, you know, I think it'll help. It's not going to be a perfect situation. If you have a suggestion, love to hear from you.
4222 on the text line. Funny you say that, Mark. My dad was a ref. 34 years, high school sports, girls and boys. He likes to say, quote, I never missed a call. And John, 5692. So many parents think their kids are going to be something special, when in reality, almost won't play sports after high school.
And we're seeing more and more now that don't even play when they get to the next level in high school because of the burnout. But that's a whole different topic right out there. 319-366-1600. Our friend Ralph, I did not know he was a former umpire. So hats off to you, Ralph, out there. He says, if you're blaming the success or failure on your child on the umpire, it is time to start to reevaluate things. You're not going to not get that scholarship if your son or daughter is called out in a 10U game at the plate.
Right. I'd hate to see all parents banned from watching their kids play at the expense of one or two maybe parents that maybe those be the abusive ones. That'd be kind of unfair, but maybe just excuse the abusive ones. You can't come and see your kid play.
Mm-hmm.
period. Or you get one warning or whatever it may be. I'm trying to, it's kind of an attempt to solve a problem, but I think it's a societal thing too. I don't want to get into, you know, everything societal and political and whatnot, but I think it might be a bit the world we live in, entitlement. And, you know, I'm right, so I'm going to push this umpire down to the ground and show him. Well, guess what? You're never coaching in that league again. I don't know.
Before we get to a phone call here, a couple more text as well as a traffic update here. Southbound traffic on I-380 between the Reservoir and I-80 is very, very slow or stopped right now. Maybe due to the construction at 380 and 80 right there, but or an accident could be. But traffic southbound I-380 between the Coralville Reservoir and I-80 right now, very, very slow. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here in the Gym Class program on KGYM. 9843, I can tell you that young people that want to get involved in officiating need to skip the youth level and go right to high school sports, which is not that bad. Youth sports is where most incidents and problems are, and these people quit before they move up to the school level. The state of Iowa is putting out, for the first time, an initiative to try to get college-age kids to get into officiating. They have just kicked that off within the last month or so. You can go read about it and take a look at it at the websites for both the Girls Union and the Iowa High School Athletic Association. But this is one of the ways that they are trying to curb the fact that we are getting to a danger level as far as officials right now in all sports. It's not just basketball. It's not just football. It's not just wrestling, whatever. It's all sports out there at this time. Let's go to the phones. Let's bring in Hunter from Lone Tree. And he is a former official out there joining us on this Friday edition of the show. Hi, Hunter. How are you doing?
Actually, I am a current official. I'm not a former.
Oh, okay. Good for you then.
I just wanted to say a lot of it's at the youth levels, like the travel, ASA, U-Trip, all those. That's where most I've ran into. A lot of, and then it's the parents. And I was in a tournament last summer, and my partner, he was behind the plate. I was on the bases, and there was a parent behind the plate that didn't like his strike zone, and he stopped the game for, I think it was almost 20 minutes, because he told the dad that he needed to leave, and the dad didn't want to leave, and he did not resume the game until the dad had left the field.
Good for them.
Why do you think that is, Hunter, at the youth level?
I think probably because a lot of the level, they have to pay money for their kids to be on these teams and go to these tournaments. So I suppose that has a lot to do with it. And they also think their kids are going to make it to the next level beyond high school, I guess.
Yeah.
Hunter, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
Yep. Have a good day, guys.
All right. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class at 3:48. We're going to get to a break coming up in just a little bit. 1224 brings up a terrific point. Been refereeing and umpiring youth sports mainly for 15 years. It is usually the people that do not know the game. It can be really fun to have a conversation with those blank parents. You know what? Brings up a great point. Usually, and tell you the worst spot, you can ask Jeff Johnson, Jeff Linder, anybody that sits there for a week at the state basketball tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times we hear people just yelling at the top of their lungs, and they are absolutely dead wrong about the rule.
Call it both ways and worse.
Call it both ways, you hear so many times. Very, very much so. Yes, and a friend of mine let me know here how many people will watch sports on TV, saw the replay, originally thought they were out or safe, then the replay shows different, and the official was right. Very, very often. And also goes on to say they have had clinics for young umpires, just try to get these young umps ready to go for youth-level baseball. And thank you very much, Todd, for that.
2325 on the text line. Make it free to become an official. It's kind of silly. You have to pay to do a job. You don't pay to interview at a certain fast food joint.
Yeah, I have no problem with dues as far as an association is concerned. Like the Cedar Rapids Area Officials Association, they do a tremendous job. And, you know, you pay dues to get into that, but then you also get games assigned to you, from what I understand, as far as that organization is concerned. And I will say this before we get to a break here, that watching, you know, high school sports as long as I have, most of the officials and the coaches get along very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well. It's just, I think it's better now, using basketball as an example, with the non-seatbelt rule. Seatbelt rule was toxic because you simmered, you could not get up. And as soon as that referee went by, boy, you let him have it every time. Now you can do, you know, you glide along the sideline, talk a little bit about, hey, what was that about?
Yeah.
I think it's been better. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, more on this topic on the Gym Class for this Friday right here on KGYM.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone, see?
Huh, nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Spring leaf vacuum collection continues through April. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Coming away on the Gym Class program here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. You want to go and read the article that kind of kicked all this off in our minds. Eric Pratt at the Fort Dodge Messenger. A terrific article. Just give him a follow on Twitter. You can also go check it out at their website for the Fort Dodge Messenger. And that is messengernews.net. It is up there. 319-366-1600. We have been talking about problems with officials being verbally attacked, abused, etc., etc., etc. And 2936, who is a head baseball coach near the Metro here, says the majority of coaches have great relationships with the umpires. When I make a mistake, I own it and apologize, and in most cases, the umpires do as well. As you mentioned earlier, Mark, have to give grace out there. Oh, sorry, Mark.
That's okay. 9307 is Hunter, who we just heard from on the phone line. Most coaches say at the pregame meeting to let them know if there are in any of their parents that we've will have a problem with, and they will take care of it.
Let's see. There was another one here that I saw that I wanted to get to. 0655, umpired for 10 years. Some easy fixes that could happen. Move fans back. They are on top of the field. If they had to watch from further back, it would help all around. Second, make all coaches umpire 2 games a year. You think it's easy? No way. and the games are getting faster. The kids are better. It is impossible to get everything right now in a basketball game at any level, let alone the 4A level in the Mississippi Valley Conference. I mean, you've got kids sometimes in games of the 10 kids on the floor, 8 of them are going to play college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. You're going to miss some calls out there.
I mean, I think a lot of it has to do just with the simple attitude of parents. And I'll quickly bring this up. Several years ago, when they held the state youth wrestling tournament downtown,
yep,
I went and watched a friend of mine's grandson wrestle. And the parents were allowed to be down on the arena floor, almost ringing the mat. I don't know if that's still the case, but my last impression was leaving the arena, and I witnessed a father who had a son who might have been 10 years old, 8 or 10, and the kid wanted a commemorative T-shirt, a state youth wrestling T-shirt. And his dad said, "No, you lost."
Great.
And that stuck with me. Thus, the simple attitude of some parents.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. I think we can wrap this up by saying we're not going to come up with the grand plan to try to fix this, but I think there are some ideas out there that people have. We've talked about what athletic directors have done, if coaches have done. You know, as far as youth leagues are concerned, we've heard from umpires out there on how they address it, getting umpires ready to go to try to face this. And it just needs to, it's never going to go away, period. I mean, we know that. And as somebody pointed out as well, two things. Number one, we have video now. This has been happening for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We didn't have video back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with that. I don't think it was quite as prevalent 20 years ago as it is right now. There are many reasons for it. I think we all know a lot of the reasons. And, you know, it's just a communication. I think that's where it starts. And communication before the season starts, communication with individual teams, communication with umpires or referees prior to that. I hate to see the point where, and I know more schools are doing this, that are saying, okay, here are the referees. We thank them very much for being here tonight, and we thank them for what they're doing out there for our kids. And, you know, if that helps, and I think it does, great. And we just got to get over this as much as we can. And hopefully we came up with some good ideas today.
Yeah, I think if the only thing we did today was come up with some decent ideas, not only us, but our listeners via the text line and phone line, then I guess we've accomplished something. But this fight is not over. We need to support our officials. Parents need to look deep within inside themselves, those who are abusive, and, you know, clean it up, or pretty soon your kids are going to be calling their own games.
Or it's going to be an electronic eye, and then that's going to cost a fortune for a lot of these schools, and you're going to lose levels. That's kind of the way it is going. We'll be back on Monday with another edition of the program. Looking forward to that. We'll talk about the weekend that was in the world of sports. You got golf going on. You got the NBA play-in games. We'll have those coming your way. A doubleheader tonight for you on KGYM. Second weekend of baseball. What I'm looking forward to. Second time we've got racing on dirt at Bristol coming up this weekend. Looking forward to that. The NASCAR series, et cetera, et cetera. Getting underway with the trucks tonight. On the dirt at Bristol Motor Speedway. So thank you for the interaction. Do appreciate it. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next. It'll be Spencer and Alex taking you from 4 to 6. And have a good weekend, Mark.
You as well. Talk Monday.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union.
Here's football star Tony Romo for Skechers Max Cushioning Footwear.
You know when you go to your kid's game and you have to sit on those uncomfortable, super hard bleachers? That's how I feel now when I wear